Welcome, my fellow Americans. I'm Bill Lipinski, and next up will be my partner in crime, Ray Hanania.
And this is Ray Hanania. Now, this is season 3, episode 10, April 4th, 2024. Two guys on politics, and I am Ray Hanania. And we got some good topics, Bill, some really interesting stuff. The Wall Street Journal poll showing Trump leading Biden. We have the Israelis who've been criticized by Biden for killing 7 World Central Kitchen staff members, which includes 1 American, and polls showing that Israel is losing support in the U.S. among Americans, mostly among young people, faster than they're losing support among older people, but they're losing from both. And then you have an update on the No Labels party that we're going to talk about. So why don't we start with the Wall Street Journal poll that shows Trump leading Biden. What does that poll show?
Well, the poll shows me that Biden is going to have an extremely difficult time winning this presidential election. These are 6 swing states we are talking about, 6 states that people believe could go either way. But in each one of them, with the exception of 1, Trump is leading Biden. Arizona, he leads him by 5 points. Georgia, 3 points. Michigan, 6 points. And you ought to talk about your era people there, Ray, because they've contributed significantly to that 6-point lead. Pennsylvania, 1 point. So that's really still up in the air. Nevada, 3 points. And Wisconsin is the one state where Biden leads in, and he leads by 3 points. Now, an interesting thing about this, I think, is that there are 600 people talked to in these states. Now, here's the percentages. People between 18 and 24, 9%. People between 25 and 34, 16%. People between 35 and 48, 23%. People between 50 and 64, 24%. Over 65, 26%. So it is heavily weighted towards older people, which most of the time have been Democrats, continue to be Democrats, and are not as afraid of, you know, the socialism that may be creeping into our federal government as some of the younger people are. In this poll seems to be weighed heavily in behalf of people over 50 years of age, because 50% of the respondents are over 50 years of age. So I think it looks dark for Joe Biden. And I don't really know what he can do at this particular time to turn things around.
Well, he could probably do a lot of things, but whether he's going to do it or not, he's going to have to get approval from the Obamas and the Clintons before he does anything to turn it around, because the policies he needs to address, he hasn't been addressing, like migrants and fighting crime. These are things that Obama and Clinton have really kind of suppressed off of other things, and they're focused on other issues, I think. But yeah, I you know, it's interesting because Biden, in a lot of these states that you mentioned, Biden won by narrow margins, which is why they're called swing states. In the 2020 election, he just beat him in many cases by 10, 15,000, 20,000 votes out of millions of votes that were cast. So that's really a razor edge. A few of them were a little bit more, but in many of those states, they're big Arab populations, Arab and Muslim populations, a lot of people that are angry with his policies on Gaza, you know, giving the Israelis so much money and arms, that they've abandoned him. In fact, their campaign is called Abandon Biden. And so far in all the elections I've covered, they've significantly exposed Biden to a Trump comeback. So I think in a way they're helping Trump. Now, they're not voting for Trump. They're just not voting for Biden. But that significant block exposes him. And I think the other issue, don't you think, is that Trump, I'm not sure if he's doing a better job of addressing the issues, but I think Biden is doing a terrible job of addressing the issues. So it's not a matter of people saying, you know, that Trump is saying better things. It's a matter of people listening to Biden saying he's not doing a good job at all. He seems to be waffling. He seems to be between his personal issues and this. He wants to make everybody happy, it sounds like, and he just can't do it, right? In politics, you got to pick a side, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Ray, what states that we have here in the swing states have a significant Arab population?
Almost every one of them. Georgia has a huge Arab Muslim population. Michigan, of course, is the one that we focus on because of Dearborn. North Carolina has a big Arab population. Wisconsin has a pretty strong Arab. Just the Wisconsin election this past Tuesday, 50,000 people in the Democratic primary voted uncommitted rather than voting for Biden or the, I think there were two other smaller rivals that were not significant, but they accounted for five, those two other rivals, Democratic candidates accounted for five, maybe about 4% of the vote. But this 50,000 was 11% of the vote in the Democratic primary said they're not voting for Biden. These are Democrats, and which I think has always been ironic because Arabs and Muslims are really conservative. They really are. They're conservative on prayer in schools. They're conservative on religion issue. They're conservative on abortion. They're conservative on marriage. They're conservative on sexual identification issues. They line up with the Republican Party, but what they have a problem with the Republican Party is the Republican Party often uses Arabs and Muslims as the boogeyman, you know, to scare and fearmonger their people to rally around them. So they're kind of caught in the middle, but that's not going to stop them from dumping Biden, maybe ending up with Trump, but they have a long-term perspective on it. But what is the, I mean, do you agree that this is really about Biden losing momentum rather than Trump gaining momentum, right?
Well, you're absolutely right. Yeah. I don't think Trump is gaining any kind of momentum. I just think that day in and day out, Biden is losing more and more. Here's an astonishing figure out of this poll that was in the Wall Street Journal, and I would have never believed this. It says that 48% of the people polled, the 600 in each one of these states, 48% prefer Trump in the White House to Biden. Biden only got 28% of the vote, 20 points behind in these states on that question alone.
Wow.
Now, how do you make up that difference? I don't say that it can't be done, but I've been in politics a long time, and I think it's going to be extremely difficult for Joe Biden to make up that much. Now, some people are still hoping that these charges that Trump is under, these indictments he's under,
right,
will be found guilty of it before the election. I don't think that makes any difference.
Well, let me ask you.
Yes, go ahead.
Look, Bill, let me ask you a question. Let's just say that Trump is convicted. Let's just say that that's a possibility and he's taken out of the race. What would the Trump supporters do, do you think? I mean, they obviously wouldn't go to Biden. Might they go to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. or another candidate? What would they do?
Well, I think that I think this country would be in for an extremely difficult time because I think that the attack on the Capitol back on January 6th would look like child's play if that were to happen. If Trump were to be thrown off the ballot, I think his supporters, and he would rev them up so much that I hate to think about it because I hate to think about America being that way. But I think that we would really come close to turning into a banana republic if that were to happen. I don't think that he's going to be, he may be found guilty, but I don't see him being sentenced to jail because I think he can, you know, appeal this, appeal that. I think it's all going to end up in the Supreme Court. So it's going to take a while to get there. So I think in the November election day, he may very well be convicted in a couple of cases, but he won't be in jail. So thank God that's not going to happen. By the same token, I'm concerned about what violence might occur if Joe Biden winds up beating him, because his followers are going to say, because of all these court cases that were thrown at him, that were phony baloney court cases, you know, that's why he lost. I don't have to agree. I think all those court cases are legitimate cases. I'm not a Trump supporter, but I have to be objective about it. I think he's in a good, very good position, and I don't know what Joe can do. And certainly Kamala Harris would not be any better of a candidate for the Democrats than Joe Biden, because I think, unfortunately, over the course of the 3 years or so that she's been vice president, she has shown her incompetence.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's Biden by himself. And I think that the vice president, Kamala Harris, I don't take her too serious. I don't think she's ever been a serious vice president. And that's kind of sad, because being a woman, I would have thought that she would have been tough. There are a lot of other tougher women, I think, that would have made better vice presidents. I don't like Hillary Clinton, but I think Hillary Clinton would have taken strong positions I may have disagreed with, but she would have been very strong and tough. Kamala Harris doesn't come across that way, whether you like her policies or not. She's not a tough person. But I do see Barack Obama, former President Obama, Bill Clinton, former President Clinton, both stepping in to try to fill this growing vacuum where Biden is losing support because Biden is incapable of turning things around himself. He's just not capable of doing it. He's not capable of leading in the Israel-Gaza war. He is incapable of leading in the Russian-Ukraine war. He has been incapable of leading in our fights against standing up to the Chinese. I'm not sure where there's a victory. If you had to look back at anything, what has been Biden's big victory? And as much as they try to say the economy is better, it's not better. I just saw gasoline prices were at $4.40 today after we've been told that everything is getting better. Prices at the grocery stores are skyrocketing. These are just contradictory things that makes him look worse. He should just maybe say, hey, things are really bad. We need to come together. And he's not doing that. He's trying to promote himself. And I think people are seeing through him, but they're not paying attention to Trump.
I think you're right there. I think that Biden he fails to communicate the successes he has had. I mean, certainly that infrastructure bill that he passed with the help of Republicans is an outstanding bill, bill that is going to help this country a great deal. Now, I think that the economy, frankly, Ray, for you, for me, for other people who have some money, the economy is fine. We can afford to
pay. We can pay the higher prices. Right. Absolutely.
But the vast majority of Americans in the middle class, in the lower working class, they can't afford this. And the two areas where the economy is still very bad, as you had mentioned, is gasoline prices and food. And everybody has to buy gasoline and everybody has to buy food. So it's directly affecting these people.
And even though you and I are doing well, I mean, I work like crazy, as you know. You work like crazy and it, you know, we're doing pretty well. It still upsets me that I got to pay twice as much to buy milk and eggs. Doesn't matter that I can afford it. What upsets me is I have to go to I need to buy a new car. It's like $20,000 more to get what I bought 7 years ago. That's upsetting to me, even though, yeah, can I pay for it? Of course I can. But that trend scares me. Long term, those numbers and inflation continue to grow. At some point, I'm not going to be working and I'm going to be on a stuck fixed income. And that income is going to be eroding faster than I can keep up. And that's scary for a lot of people.
Oh, it is. There's no question about that. I mean, I tell this story, and maybe I've even told it here on this podcast before. But I usually go to the store, I buy things, you know, I can afford to pay whatever I have to pay. So I don't really look at the receipt or anything like that. But about 6 months ago, I went to the store and I purchased 6 items. And as I paid the bill and the clerk said how much it was, and I thought to myself, I couldn't have heard that right. He said $75 for six, you know, items. That can't be right. So I stopped. I took the receipt out of the bag and I looked at it. Sure enough, it was $75 for six items. I went back to the clerk and I says, I'm not sure, but I think there's a mistake here someplace. And he looked at it, he says, no, sir, that's absolutely right. I was astonished, frankly, that it cost, maybe it was 8 or 9 months ago. They talk about inflation being down. Yes, inflation is down overall, but once again, not in food, not in gasoline, and that affects the vast majority of people.
And it's a relative down.
Right.
Inflation goes up 100 points, let's just say, just and then it comes down 20, and then he says, oh, inflation's down. No, it's not. It's still up 80 points. So it's like going up so high, and every time it comes down a little bit, he says, oh, don't worry, the economy's better. No, it's not better. The troubling thing for me with Biden is that this other side of it, which is fueling this concern about the economy and crime and all these other things. It's the fact that we've spent so much time, and I blame the news media. I really blame the media for this. They want to do so much to help Biden and the left. They're actually hurting him. All this focus on migrants, all the money that migrants get. We get one migrant that comes into the country with measles, and the next thing we know, we got 75 people that in the Chicago area that have measles. And that's a scary thought. And then they're giving so much money is being allocated to support these migrants. And all the talk about the border security seems like a waste. That is making things 10 times worse than they would normally be. And he would still be in a bad situation. But those issues, like the migrants, the focus on these other ancillary issues, I think are really exaggerating his problems to the point where I don't think he can recover.
About a week ago, one of Chicago's two major newspapers did a three-page story on the grievances of the illegal aliens here. They weren't happy with the food that they were being served. They weren't happy with their housing that they had been given. They thought they should be given more cash so they could buy more things. And some of the cell phones that they were given weren't operating that well. That is now people that are citizens here read that, they get very, very upset about the
Yes,
attitude
they do.
of illegal aliens. And I'll tell you, the ones that get upset the most are Hispanics who have been here, who are citizens, came the right
Right.
way. They are probably the most upset people because they feel that's going to wash all of them, as the
And
same people.
core groups like African Americans who are looking and saying, wait a minute, what about the support we should be getting? It's being given away. It doesn't matter whether it's a Black or Hispanic or a Central American or South American migrant. These people are coming in, taking away money and jobs. And that it's a perception, right or wrong, from
Absolutely.
people who are here that are not getting the attention that they're going to get. And I can't blame it on Trump. I can't say Trump is fueling these issues because I don't think the focus is on Trump. The entire focus over the last 6 to 8 months has been on his legal problems. And I really do think very unfair in the sense that they've been piling it on Trump at every opportunity to make him look bad. And I think there is a sense in the public, it may not be 100%, but I'd say 20% of the people who might support Biden recognize that the media is just being unfair, that they go out of their way to say stuff about Trump. They go out of their way to attack Trump. And they notice, they're not stupid people, they notice how the media goes out of its way to protect Biden, goes out of its way to avoid bringing up these issues that you and I are talking about right now. The public isn't stupid. They see it, but the media treats them like we'll just tell them what we want and they'll believe us. That doesn't work anymore.
Well, it definitely doesn't work anymore because there's too many places of communication, too many outlets nowadays. It's not just three big networks any longer, all preaching out of the same choir book. Now, I say a lot of things that are, factual things that do not help Biden. That does not mean I'm a Trump supporter at all.
No,
I
I agree. I
expect
agree with
Trump
you.
to be a catastrophe for this country. I really believe the man would try to be a dictator. I think he tried it in January 6th. It didn't happen. And but I think if he was the president again, he would certainly work in that direction. On the other hand, I think Joe is, you know, almost an incompetent at this stage of the game. He gave a great State of the Union speech. What he took beforehand to get him to so much, have so much energy, I don't know, but it certainly worked for that particular night. But I don't know how often he can take whatever that was to see to it that he is, you know, tough on the campaign trail.
It had no headwind coming out of that State of the Union speech. Right. It was a great speech. And then after that, we went back to the terrible reality. Now, in a perfect world, here's what I would say needs to be done. The media really needs to step back and do its job and present both sides in a very objective way, fairly. Let the American people see the truth fairly and objectively. And I think the American people would make the right decision if they could just hear the actual reality of what is really happening in this country and not be peltered with, you know, I mean, even the issue of abortion, all the focus on the abortion issue. There are a lot, I support abortion, but limited abortion, you know, during the first trimester. I do not support the extremists who say that there should be abortion after, no more abortion after 6 weeks. I think 12 weeks is reasonable. And there's a reasoned response to every major controversial issue. But instead of focusing on the reasoned answer, they seem to go each way on the most extremist and fear-mongering answer. And I think they're actually doing Biden in worse than all. I wanted to also point out that, you know, the Pew Research Center, which is very reputable in terms of surveys, they just completed a poll, and so did the Associated Press. They also completed a poll. Most of the polling was done in February. It had a lot to do with the Gaza-Israel war and how Americans were looking at it. But I think that's a microcosm of what's happening with Biden, because Israel has always been a dominant ally of the United States, been very hard to criticize it. It could do, in some cases, no wrong and get away with almost anything. But over the last 3-4 months, as a result of this war, the polling shows that older Americans are turning away from Israel. But younger Americans are turning away from Israel at a far faster rate, almost 5 times faster. So Israel is losing support. And the fact that they're losing support reminds me of what happened during the Vietnam War. It was the videos, the horrendous videos of people being killed and massacred. Regardless of who you want to blame, you see somebody getting killed who's walking down the street. You wonder, really, is that guy a terrorist? Maybe there is terrorism there. I don't know. But I think that's hurting Israel. And I think that's also hurting Biden. I think that's hurting him.
Well, I think that Biden hurt himself very much with the Arab community in America by his all-out total support for Israel. Now, I think what Hamas did was horrendous.
Of course.
Israel had an absolute right to do whatever they thought they could do to get rid of Hamas. But I said 3 months ago that if the Israelis continue to fight the war they are fighting, they are going to lose more and more and more support around the world and in this country. And that is exactly what is happening to them. And I still don't understand why they got to destroy all of these buildings. I mean, because right. Let's face facts, once it's over, and it's going to be over somehow, someplace, who's going to rebuild Palestine? You and me,
the taxpayers are going to do it. We're going to end up doing it. This is an example of where a tough, smart president would have held Israel in restraint and conditioned the billions that we gave them and the arms that we gave them and said, yes, go after Hamas, but do it in a smart way. What we're seeing, in my opinion, again, and obviously I'm a little biased, obviously, because I'm Palestinian, but I see Israel just saying, hey, we got a carte blanche, a license to kill, almost like James Bond. We can do whatever we want. Nobody's going to stop us. So their anger and emotion over October 7th is coming out in the conflict where civilians are being killed, aid workers, like we saw this World Kitchen group that were bringing food. One of them was an American, but you know, it was interesting. They didn't describe the American who was killed as an American in the media. You know how they described them? They said, oh, well, he was a dual citizen Canadian with American citizenship, which made it sound like he wasn't really an American. But if he were Israeli American, because all those Americans killed on October 7th are dual citizenships, they said they were American, period. This guy that was killed was, he's kind of a Canadian, not so much an American.
Well, now that I know that he wasn't so much an American, I think that Israel's strike was justified.
No, I know you don't mean that. I know you don't. I know you are. But see, it's things like that that I think Biden is being hurt by his own movement.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say Biden is not getting the support he really needs to put the focus back on Trump. The focus is on Biden. That's not where it should be. It should be on Trump. But as much as the media tries to do that, it's so outlandish that the focus actually deflects back to Biden.
Well, Biden, you know, has probably lost the vast majority of Arab vote in this country by the way he has allowed Israel. And I say allowed because they can't do anything unless we allow them to do so.
Right, and it's true.
Their bullets, their tanks, their planes, their rifles, their machine guns, we give it all to them, plus all the money we give them for other things. Okay. All we have to do is call them up and say, BB, I want you to back off or I'm backing off.
Right.
And that's, you do
and,
it.
And this is the first time, isn't this the first time where BB said to them, don't tell us what to do?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that kind of offended not just me, but a lot of Americans saying, wait a minute, we gave you $34 billion just in the last few months, and you're telling us to shut up and move out of the way? That's kind of an ingrate attitude that I think hurts Israel. Oh, by restraining Israel, he'd be doing Israel a favor.
So he lost a lot of Arab support because of his early Biden support of Israel. Now he's been backing off Israel for the last 4 or 5 weeks. So there's more and more Jewish Americans getting upset with him because he's not 100% behind Israel. And there are some other Jewish Americans who have never been big supporters of Israel. I don't really know where they stand, to be perfectly frank with you, but I don't think they're happy with Joe either.
But, I have to say that I'm disappointed in Robert F. Kennedy because as smart as he is, I don't agree with everything, all his policies, but he has not looked at this for the opportunity that it is. He is running as if it's just a regular campaign. He's not addressing the problems that you and I are talking about right now, because any good candidate, some third party candidate, this is probably the biggest opportunity for a third party candidate to step in between a president who is faltering and a former president who is consumed by controversy and scandal. Somebody smart could walk in the middle, and they're not doing it. And unfortunately, I think you pointed out that, and for Kennedy, it would be great, but I think you pointed out, right, that the no labels party is not going to field a candidate. Was that because of Joe Lieberman, Senator Lieberman passing?
I don't believe that. No. I think it's just they waited too long. I mean, probably going back a year, I got involved with No Labels, and I wound up talking to Joe and a couple of other people who were at the top of the pyramid in the No Labels movement. And I told them, you know, you got to get a candidate as quickly as possible, because you got a long way to go to make this person, this man or woman, to be known to the American people. I says, right now, the senator from West Virginia is your top possibility. I says,
Joe Manchin.
Yeah, I know him. You know him. Some people that follow politics know him, but the vast majority of the American people don't know him. But he'd probably be your best candidate. But you got to get him out there. You got to get people to know who he is.
And the candidate running out there, right, Kennedy? I mean, he is a good candidate, but he's just not stepping in to the filling the void. He's kind of running on the sidelines of these issues on his own issues. He should be addressing the issues that you and I are talking about right now between Trump and Biden. And he's really not doing that, is he?
No, he's not. And also, no labels. They're on the ballot in 20 states. You know, now that had to take an awful lot of effort, awful lot of money to accomplish that. And now it's going for naught. They don't have a candidate. They're not going to field a candidate. They should have at least considered turning to Kennedy, even though you know, he may go off on tangents here and there. As I've said before, if he's elected president, what's he going to do? The Democrats and or the Republicans are going to control the House and the Senate. He has to have reasonable things that he wants to do. Otherwise, they will not go along with him.
Let me ask you a question. A person that has conspiracy theories, compared to the problems that you and I are talking about, is that really a legitimate thing to push somebody aside and say, well, he has conspiracy theories about his father being killed, about his uncle being killed, about the vaccinations? Are those really legitimate issues? We didn't talk about any of those issues when we were talking about the problems that Trump and Biden are having. And I think that you're right. The No Labels Party should have looked at Kennedy and said, we need you and we want to work with you. He might have moderated his views, adjusted his views, adjusted his campaign. He still could do that. But I'll tell you what, I haven't seen him move in that direction yet.
Oh, and, you know, as I say, he has no party. It'll be him and his vice president. I call it the all-Irish ticket, Kennedy and what's her name? Shanahan, yeah.
Shanahan, right. Yeah. And a nobody that she may be a good person, but how long is it going to take us to learn who she is in the short period of time that we have before the election?
And many people say, oh, her name is Shanahan. Then they're going to see a picture of her.
Another Irish person.
Yeah, another Irish patient. Ooh. Born and raised in China by Chinese.
Right.
But I don't know. I still don't know what her, you know, here's a question. I don't know who her father was. Okay. Now, if her father was not an American citizen, she would not be eligible to run for, to become president of the United States if anything happened to our
That's interesting. I wonder. Look at all the trouble they gave Obama about whether he was born in the U.S. or not. They're going to raise that stuff about Kennedy's running mate. And whether it's legitimate or not is besides the point. It's going to impact public opinion.
Well, I've tried to read about her, and all I know is that her mother and her came to this country from China, and that her mother definitely is Chinese. She looks Chinese. Since her mother's Chinese, she's at least part Chinese. So her father has to have been an American citizen in order for her to be eligible to be president of the United States.
Yeah. All right, Bill, I think we covered a lot. Any other final thoughts or any other topics?
Well, I have no other topics. I just wish someone somewhere that had a lot of common sense and some experience in politics would emerge, you know, as a third or fourth or fifth candidate that I could vote for with some hope of that person winning, because I just don't see how I can support either. Well, I won't support Trump no matter what. I don't see how I can support Biden, though, because there's so many of the issues that he's on one side and I'm on another side. And, you know, I'd like to be able to support, say I can support him, but I'd be lying if I did.
And I agree with you. I feel the same way. And I think that that results in a default vote, though, for Kennedy, or voters who are just going to shake their head and say, I've had enough, and walk away from the election. And then it'll be up in the air. But we'll see what happens. I'm Ray Hanania.
I'm Bill Lipinski. And until next time, have a wonderful day, all you fellow Americans.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.